we're very thankful this morning to have each and every person on the call, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored guests. We appreciate having you on our call this morning. Those who are visiting from other congregations, we're thankful that you've chosen to join us on this morning. We ask you right now to open your Bible. We'll study from the book of Acts, chapter 17. That's where we'll be going this morning. And for those who may be visiting first time, we thank you for joining us. Know that in Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. And we're going to go to heaven. We've got to do it the way God has said do it from the book called the Bible. Many people, I believe, the reason they will be lost because they have not come to believe that the Bible is 100% accurate. It's right. It's from God, this book. When a person don't believe in this book, they only believe 99% of it. That's not enough. You got to believe it all. Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I am convinced that those who will be lost will because they did not read the book and did not believe that there's something after death. You need to investigate it. Here's what Jesus said do. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That gospel is the story of his suffering on the cross. The blood is shed to purchase the church of Christ, the only church you read about in the Bible. That same blood will wash your sins away, according to Revelation 1 and verses number 5. So you got to be baptized. But if you don't believe, we can't help a person who don't believe. We've had a conversation yesterday, a friend of mine. The bottom line is if a person believes the Bible, then they have no problem with what we teach. They have no problem with what God has said. Do it. Very simple. It's very simple. But when a person say they get confused or they don't understand, God is not the author of confusion. But of peace. And God, you don't believe. That's your problem. You don't believe. And if you're on the call this morning, you have not learned, you have not understood that you must believe in the Bible. You need to do that. You need to get it right. And ask questions. Why? What can we do to help you understand that the book is right? And when you understand it's right, then you will have no problem doing saving your precious soul. Now, this morning, God winked. That's the title of my sermon, Acts chapter 17, verse 30. This word winked means overlooked. Buckle up your seatbelt this morning and take notes. For those of you who are studious, got your pen and paper out, I'm going to give you a lot of Bible this morning, but there's some serious discussion we got to have here. But all of us have a soul to save. Ignorance is why God overlooked these things. He winked. There's no longer a winking. God don't wink no more. No winking. And when one is ignorant, I'm going to talk about this more in detail at the end of the lesson, but you need to know going through the lesson that ignorance won't pay off. Lack of knowledge. Ignorance is not a bad word. It means you have ignored the truth. When a person ignores the truth, you cannot help a person who do not know the truth. But know this, God will not be winking. That's what you need to understand. Now let's go back to verse 16. I'll look up to that verse. Let's go along with me now. Pay attention as I work through some thoughts here. In verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred up in him when he saw. Notice that. Paul got stirred up when he saw the whole city was given into adultery. Paul is a man of God. He's bothered. He's upset. He's troubled by what he's witnessing. These people are in Athens. They are worshiping statues and false gods and men and philosophers are there, Stoics are there, and Paul is seeing all of this, and they do not know the one God. In Rome, you all point out today, this thing is still happening. In Rome, at the Vatican, Catholics still bow down and worshiping the statue of Peter and Mary and others. They even bow to the Pope. But God is no longer winking. God is not winking at this. We need to understand. And Peter, even when Peter, they tried to do it with him. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 25, Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Peter took him up saying, stand up. I myself am a man. If the Pope believed in the Bible like we do, he would never let anyone bow down. Never. Even the angels won't allow. Listen to this in Revelation 22 and verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I heard and seen, I fell down. Here's an apostle. Watch this guy. He fell down to worship before the feet of the angel. See that? which showed me these things. Notice what he said. Then said he unto me, the angel speaks up. He says, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. He said, see, I am your servant. I am a servant and a brother. Now, if every preacher understood this, they would not allow anyone to call them reverend, father, or even doctor, as we hear in the churches of Christ. Right here in America, throughout the world, and throughout the world, many people are worshiping false God, caught up in doctrines and commandments. Men, God is not winking at this. A church on every corner, God do not wink. Started by some man, God do not wink. This church wears a man's name. God does not wink at that. And God, a church named after a mountain, Mount Sinai, or Mount Zion Church. Understand this, God is not winking. He's not winking when people say any church would do. He's not winking at vain worship. Jesus said in Matthew 15:9, that people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart, their mind, is far from me. In vain they do worship me. For doctrines, the commandments of men. God is no longer overlooking. He's not overlooking doctrines and commandments of men. It's something else. Those of us in the Church of Christ, I just hit denominationalism. I hit Catholicism. Every church under the umbrella of Christianity, every preacher that call himself a preacher of Christ, a preacher of the cross, a preacher of this book called the Bible, every preacher, everybody listening to me tonight, this morning, you understand this, God is not winking. He's not winking. We need to get this. Even in the church, some staying at home, watching TV, not putting God first, not planning on coming back to the building, not being involved in worship, forsaking the assembly, not doing what God has told us to do, and not giving right, not living right, not living according to God's will, God is not winking. That's what we need to understand. We cannot put nothing before God. God is a jealous God in Exodus chapter 20 and the verse number 1. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. He said, thou shalt not make unto thee graven images. And this is what's going on in Athens. Any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. God said, don't worship nothing. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God. Notice this now, here it is. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, third and fourth generation, to them that hate me. We need to understand that we cannot put nothing before God. We got to put not even our mama. We can't put our daddy. We can't put our children. We can't put job before God. We can't put nothing before God. God is not winking at the Church of Christ. We need to understand, even in the Church of Christ, and maybe some of you are on the call from other congregations that are doing things that are not according to the Scripture, such as bass miking and beatboxing and praise dancing, all this stuff. God is not winking. He's not overlooking that stuff. We got to understand, even in the church, hallelujah, we understand our role is to carry the gospel to the world, and we cannot, and we must not, and we will not overlook the message and the command from God to take this gospel to a lost and dying world. Understand this, many members of the church are putting their wives, their husbands, their mamas, and their daddies, people in the church who don't put God first. Understand this, that God is not winking. Jesus said it in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. If any man come to me, and hate not, I mean love less, hate not his father, love your father more less than God. Love his mother, love your mother less than God. You love your wife less than God. You love your children less than God. Love your brethren less than God. Sisters, less than God. Notice this, and even your own life. He cannot be. Might say why God is not winking. We can't put nobody. Even I'll be talking to people. You know, my mama was a Baptist. She died a Baptist. Well, that God didn't. He's not gonna overlook that. If you don't put God first, you got to deal with God. Mama not gonna be there to deal with God with you. If you're on the call today, you say, well, Brother Brooks, I believe everything you're saying, my whole family, we're in denomination. Well, you're not alone. Many of our families were in denomination churches. You know, just because my mama did wrong, that don't mean I have to do it. You know, just because my mama didn't know, she was ignorant. She did not know. Ignorant is not a bad word. This is going to be a play on words this week, this whole lesson. Ignorance means you cannot, we cannot ignore and expect God because to be okay with it, because we have knowledge. We have information that God is saying, I give you, I gave you the information. What information are you talking about, brother? Remember at the beginning of the sermon I said, if a person don't believe the Bible, that person is not going to be saved. So I don't believe in one church. You're not going to be saved. I don't believe in baptism. You're not going to be saved. You're not going to be saved. Why? Because God is not winking at the fact that you don't believe it. That's the problem. I don't know if I have to. I don't give right. Remember the church. God is not going to overlook that. He's not going to overlook that. Notice this. Jesus told Satan in Matthew 14. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee then, hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. You got to ask yourself a question. What is your God? I'm going to tell you who your God is. Whoever you put before him, or whatever. You see, you may be laying in the bed right now with a woman or a man you're not married to. That's your God. Because if you believe God, you would be married. That's your God. Now who, what do you serve? How many of you have put God first? How many of you focusing on your education, your career, and you put more efforts in studying to become whatever you want to become in your life, as a, in your career, but you don't study the Bible? You, if you had to be graded in the Bible, you'd get an F. Get graded on what you're seeking to be in the world, you get an A plus. That's your God. When you put God first, you put everything about him first. You notice it. What am I saying today? Paul was upset. He was stirred up. Paul was bothered by this, troubled by this. And we should be troubled. We should be troubled over the false doctrine, denominationalism, non-denomination, members of the church who have not restored, members of the church who don't live right, members of the church who put everything before God. It ought to stir us up. It ought to bother us to know that people are thinking this way. This world we're living in, it's evident. We all can see this. This world do not put God first. Do not expect America and the leaders up there in the Congress and the White House, they're not putting God first. We're in bad shape in this world. What's going to have to happen? God winked. But there is coming. God is saying, I am no longer overlooking anything. There's a reason why he's no longer doing it. Not going to wink. He's not winking in America, y'all. All the stuff we seen going on, they're going to have to deal with God. God said, it's a fearful thing to face the living God. What is this? Go back to Acts 17. More to come. Therefore disputed he, talking about Paul, in the synagogue with the Jews, with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Paul is stirred up, and he's ready to dispute or discuss or challenge them on what they're teaching and believing. I do that. I'm doing that right now. They're challenging us on what we do, why we're doing it. Not leaving nobody out. No Church of Christ, nobody. Every time I preach, I try to do this. Challenge them. Listen to this. Listen, who was there? Then certain philosophers, that's a problem right there, philosophers, Epicureans, and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Babbler. You call him Paul, he's just running off your mouth. What is this babbler going to say? Well, people probably say, when I be talking about the ones, I don't believe that. babbling and running off. Okay. All right. Just remember, God is not going to wink. He's not winking. What you call babbling, you could understand that it's true. Because Paul often speaks the truth to these people. Notice what he says. Of some, he seemed to be a setter forth of strange God. He said, you're trying to say he's advocating some strange God because he preached unto them. Notice what he's preaching. Jesus and the resurrection. Now, when you preach Jesus, you got to preach the New Testament. You know that, right? And in the New Testament, there's a whole lot of things that they didn't have in the Old Testament because Jesus had not died. The problem today is that God is not going to wink. Let's make it real clear. Because it was his son that suffered on the cross. It was his son who they beat with a whip. It was his son who has drove nails in his hands and his feet. And God's not going to let us get away with doing nothing that he didn't command. So these philosophers are men and women who give their philosophy about subjects. The Epicureans believe when men die, that was the end of men. It's like a rover. He's just dead all of them. Some on the call may believe like that. You don't think there's nothing out there. But this is vain philosophy. That's philosophy. The Stoics did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. This is also vain philosophy. Today, people who do not believe that the Bible is 100% accurate will give you vain philosophy. They get start running off at their mouth of something that don't make no sense. Don't make no sense. Just say whatever they think. But Paul warns in Colossians 2 and verse 8, he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Notice this, after tradition of men, after rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. This is what's wrong with statements like or any church would do. Child, as long as your heart is right, God gonna save you. That's vain philosophy. That didn't come from the Bible. That came from some man trying to make you feel like all you got to do is believe. As long as you okay with God, as long as you believe in God. That's what most of the world believe. As long as they believe. As long as they believe in some God. You ain't got to follow the Bible. You just got to believe in God. No, that's not what we're saying. This is vain philosophy. You best make sure that you don't go along with philosophy, doctrine, the commandments, and traditions of men. Notice this. They took him, bought him in Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine, whereof thou speakest there? They said, well, this man is bringing us a new information, new doctrine as a teaching. So these people took Paul before the judge, Areopagus, the judge in court, to condemn him. Now, this Greek term for Mars Hills is was something we're going to look at here in a minute. But this is where he's at. He's before the court. He's before the high court there. And they're trying to condemn him for what he was teaching. Because this was a court of religious studies. And this was a court where they would come out. They had so much idolatry in that city. They would have this new teaching. Somebody would come up with something new, like Paul is doing. Notice they said in verse 20, thou bringest certain things, certain strange things. See, when he started talking about Jesus, and how he died and was resurrected and buried, that's strange to these folks. It was strange to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. What was Paul teaching? He was teaching about Jesus. He was teaching this new doctrine, they call it, is what we know as the New Testament. And they taught this after Jesus died. They taught what Jesus told them to teach, just like I'm doing today. I'm teaching what Jesus taught us to teach. He told us this in the New Testament. So you said, Brother Brooks, how should we be worshiping? Well, it's in the New Testament. You sing. We don't have no instrumental music. We have no choirs, no guitars, and drums. Why? That didn't come from God. Nobody in the New Testament used instrumental music to worship. They took the Lord's Supper every Sunday. They didn't take it on the first Sunday. It came from man. God never commanded us to take the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday of every month. Men changed this thing. What amazes me is that men would take people money every week, every preacher in town, every city, every church, all over the world, send the plate around to get the money. But they won't send the bread and the fruit of the vine around. That's communion. In the Church of Christ, we follow that. We sing, we take communion, we give, we don't tithe. We're not Old Testament, we're New Testament Christians. Tithing was under the old law, and not for us today. We give as God has prospered us, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves that you're forgiven. Understand? What are you saying, Brother Brooke? This man is before the judge, court in there, in Athens. We're going to stand before the Supreme Court of Heaven. And understand why God do not wink. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Supreme Court of Heaven gave us this book called the Bible, and everything is finished. Because we finished, they gave it to us, the apostle was writing it. People didn't know something, but God is revealing it through the scripture. That's the revelation. That's knowledge that they're getting. These people are getting this knowledge. You and I have the knowledge. There's no excuse, basically. We got to know what to do and what did. What is this strange? It was strange doctrine to them. And it seems strange today to some folks. See, he said, we would know, therefore, what these things mean. These people said, what is he talking about? Well, why? Why are they questioning everything? Because their belief is based on philosophy and not on the word of God. The same thing happens today. When one preached, when I preach to one God, to one church, it sounds strange to some people. Man, I ain't never heard it. I know you have never heard it because you never read it. It's not that you haven't heard it. It's that you read it. You haven't believed it yet. Their belief is based on what people said. Many of us, including myself, growing up, my belief wasn't based on what the Bible said. It was based on what I heard my family say. And if you're honest, you can probably say that too. At what point did you ever start reading the Bible for yourself? I didn't start reading the Bible for myself. I was 25 years old. What did I get all my information from? Whatever my mother said, whatever my grandmother said, whatever my grandfather said, or my uncles and aunties said, everybody around me said, that became my belief. And what about you? Are you honest enough to say your belief didn't come from the Bible? Because you don't even know the Bible. You don't even know how to study the Bible. Or you haven't studied the Bible. Or you just picked the parts of the Bible out that you want to remember as your favorite scripture. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Is that your favorite scripture? The Lord won't put on more than we can bear. That's not in the Bible. That's what you said. That's what somebody told you. What do you believe? Where did it come from? Where did it come from? That's why I said buckle up your seat, because this all applies to us. Every one of us can be influenced through strange teaching. Where did the strange teaching come from? It didn't come from God. That's what Paul is going to tell these people. Why don't we believe in one church? Because that's what the Bible says. Ephesians 1, 4, 4. There's one body. I said, well, they don't say church. There's just body. Well, if you keep reading, you start believing in the Bible. The Bible never contradicts itself. In Ephesians 1, 22, it tells us he's the head over all things to the church, which is his body, verse 23. In Colossians 1:18, Colossians 1:24, he confirms that the body is the church. So what can I teach from this book? Can I teach anything from this book? Can I teach any church from this book? You cannot do it. You can't teach any God from this book. I can't tell it's okay to worship Allah, Buddha, no, Muhammad. They're not in this book. There's only one Savior, that's Jesus, from this book. And that's strange to some people. You know why? Because they don't believe the book. They don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in the Word of God. And that's the problem with these people in Athens. Let's go back to Acts 17:21. All the Athenians, the strangers which were there, spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. See, some people are always looking for something new. You know, what bothers me sometimes when I hear people say, Ooh, that preacher deep. What do you mean? I mean, are you saying that, what are you really saying? What are you looking for? Something deep? You got, Brother Brooke, got to have some deep knowledge that you don't have. You want something new to impress. Well, that's why, well, even through the ministry, I'm not impressed with brothers who try to use big Greek words and get fancy in their conversation, even in their prayers. Oh, I'm dipped in God of heaven, all money, God of Abraham. We know that. What are you trying to do? Why you can't just say, all power, all knowing, kind of like Brother Allen just did. All knowing, God is your prayer. Everybody can understand all knowing. You say, Brother, are you against education? No, no, that's not that. It's not. I consider myself educated. I hope I'm educated enough to do what I'm doing. Oh, I shouldn't be in this pulpit. I shouldn't be doing this. But what education do I need? I need the basic knowledge and not be ignorant, because God is not winking. He's not winking. Some people look for everything. Don't worry about new philosophy. Some men coming up with all this new stuff. They're coming up with some things in the churches of Christ. They're talking about this new heaven, new earth thing. Starting to believe like the Jehovah's Witnesses. Amazes me. That's the big thing going on there in the church. But this is Jeremiah taught us. Jeremiah 6:16 said it like this. Stand ye in the way of the sea and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? Walk therein. You shall find rest for your soul. You shall find rest for your soul. Why, how are you going to do that? Stand with the old path. Going back to the Bible. But these people said, they said, we will not walk therein. Jeremiah said. This is why we have to, today, have all these, we have to have discussion about all these different doctrines and teachings that we see. The Methodists are different from the Baptists. The Baptists are different from the Catholics. The Catholics are different from the Church of God in Christ. The Kojic is different. Where did all this teaching come from? How can you get one book and have all these different teachings? Well, it didn't come from God. That's why. It came from man. Man, I often use the example of math book. If you use one math book and everybody use the same math book, everybody going to say 2 plus 2 equals 4. Everybody going to say it because they believe 2 plus 2 equals 4 because the book says it. And when a teacher walks in the room and says 2 plus 2 equals 5, you're not going to believe it no more because you believe the math book over that man. No, this is not a good teacher. Let me go to a math class. Let me go to another one. Sure, that's the same thing you would do in the church. You walk in, a man say, any church would do, get up and walk out. This is not the right teacher because he's not speaking where the Bible speaks. Keep this in mind. Yeah, we all ought to be stirred up over this kind of stuff. Because our friends, our family, our loved ones, if you're on a call today, I'm not speaking this to be mean. I'm speaking the truth in love. Somebody has to say it. Kind of like our sister got on this one. She don't want her children to be lost. She's trying to tell them, hey, this is the truth. Believe the truth. And let me calm everybody's mind down, though. No matter if it's our children, or people we love, brothers and sisters, or mamas and daddies, until that individual decide that they want to obey God, no matter what we do, they cannot be saved. Our prayers is what we ask God to give them time. That's the best we can do. Because God is not going to force them. Because we pray, that's a vain prayer. Those people will be given time. That's called grace, mercy, and long suffering. That's what we pray for our friends and family and loved ones, that they have time. And even us in the church, let's not leave us out. Now, we know when we are in sin, my brothers and sisters. We know when we play in the Russian roulette game of spirituality. It's not that you don't know what sin you're in. Is that you haven't decided to repent. That's what comes at the end of the sermon. You have not decided to repent. It's not that you're ignorant. It's not that you don't know what you have been doing, the years God has given you. You know where you fall short. Every one of us can look in the mirror and know our own actions. So, Brother Brooks, sometimes I do things. I just didn't realize I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the willful things you're doing. The will, you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. Don't expect God to wink when you know what you're doing is wrong. but you haven't changed it. That means you have not decided. You haven't made a decision to make those changes. That's what happens with our friends, our family, loved ones that are outside the body of Christ. They have not decided to change. Until they decide to change, all we can do is pray God give them the time. And let's understand, don't lose hope, because God, the Bible teaches us that the eyes of the Lord are open to righteous, and his ears are open to our prayers. It comes to mind, my dear sister, those of Hollow Heights know Charlie, we lost her last year. My dear sister, who, out of all of us in the Churches of Christ, she was the last one to obey my family. But she wasn't ready. Her story could be told. Until one day she talked to me on a Saturday, and she just said to me, I just don't understand it. I don't understand the difference. And I just simply took a piece of paper and the Bible, and I showed her simply what sin does is separate us from God. I said, you believe the Bible, Charlie? Yeah, I believe it. And I showed her what sin is. I showed her the one church. I showed her what to do to be baptized and what happens in baptism, which we wasn't taught in the Baptist church growing up. We was taught differently. We was taught we were saved before we got baptized. We were taught to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. That's what she would believe in. She thought it was just, that's the way it was. And that day when she was ready to hear, I taught her. My older sister had, other sister had tried to teach her. Mom and daddy had tried to talk to her. She was being stubborn. Well, no, she just wasn't ready at the time. And when she was ready, I taught her that next morning, I was preaching, she came walking down the aisle, right there in Hemphill, Texas. The greatest day among our family. My mama cried, I cried, my whole family cried. Why, brother? Because we couldn't help her until she was ready. She's a case study I'm giving you. That you don't give up on your family. Don't give up on anyone. You hold to the prayer that God will give them the time they need it. And I thank God my sister obeyed. That my hope now, she's gone. But boy, comfort one another with these words. When a family member obeyed the gospel, that's a great feeling. They have a great chance. They have to live faithful now. Just because you obey and get baptized, I'm not saying, suggesting I preach anybody to heaven. I'm not saying that. What I am suggesting is this, that our greatest hope can be that our families obey the gospel truth. Because God is not winking. He's not winking, you all. How many of you have told your friends, your family, your loved one, your children? How many of you mothers over here have told your children about the Church of Christ? How many of you have told them? How many of you have reached out to people that you know are your mamas and daddies and sisters and brothers and told them to hear this truth? They're not going to have a chance if they die in their sins. Why, Brother Brooks, why? God is not winking. Not going to overlook. He has to know. We need to know what manner of person we ought to be in the eyesight of God. And that is people that believe. People that know, believe that what I'm teaching is right. That God is not winking. Not going to overlook us, y'all. I mean, if you don't actually sit down and hear, just listen to a gospel message. I mean, I've been doing a nationwide gospel meeting all year, and you haven't listened to one sermon. Where's your focus? I mean, if we were teaching for a whole year how to become a millionaire, wouldn't you have been on every night? I would guess so. Oh, you said, well, brother, I'm not interested. Okay, I'm not talking to you then. If you're not interested in money, I'm talking to those who are. What are your priorities? We was on. What would we talk about that could get you to call in every night? What would it be? If the soul is not that important, what else? You answer the question, friend. You answer the question, brother, sister. I don't have to answer for you because you and God already know what was more important. So don't try to pull the wool on my eye, because here's the person that you got to worry about. God didn't wink at what I just asked you and what you just answered. He didn't wink at that. He read your heart. He read your mind. Are you going to be back on this afternoon here, Brother Stroud? You're not going to get some word about your soul this evening at 3:30, another hour? That's too much. Or what's more important? I told you to buckle up seatbelt. I just got questions. You think God going to wink at that? That going and doing things and having joy and playing on Sunday versus hearing the word of God for 1 hour, you've got something else more important. Name it. Tell me what it is. Tell me what it is. Tell me what God would wink at. Oh, this ain't one you're going to. We probably won't even get a confession at the end. It's not an amen sermon. I know it's not. I knew that when I was going to start this one. Because some of us believe that he winks. We believe we're okay. And we're going to keep doing it until we decide to repent. And this is not about what the other person is doing. Brother Brooks is not talking about, I need to talk to you about what you're doing. I'm talking to me, too. You think God going to wink if I already know the truth and I'm not doing it? He's not winking at me either. I'm the preacher. Do I have to talk to everybody? But at the end of the day, ain't nobody going to be up there protecting me. Everybody, Brother Brooks. No, you ain't get up there and say, Brother Brooks, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. It's my fault. Whose fault is it? Mine. If my soul is lost, it's my fault. Because I did not do what God told me to do, and I thought God was going to wink at it. Now, you remember this sermon, won't you? He didn't wink. He's not going to wink. He's not winking at none of us. Because we got the information. There's a difference. Let's look at that. In verse 22, I know some of you probably should go. You didn't get on the call not once this year. You probably should be. But not too late. We got one more month. Not too late. Maybe that's not the real issue anyway. Maybe you ought to be shook up because you haven't put God first in your life yet. It ain't about the call. It's about your decision. And I'm trying to come into your conscience and make it accuse you. Yeah, I'm guilty. Yeah, I'm one of them. I know y'all. You knew it. You knew God knew it before you said it. Then yeah, verse 22. Go back to Acts. Let's move on. Well, if I was at the building right now, I know Brother Hamilton said, we want to get back to the building. Well, if I was at the building right now, it'd be so quiet in there, you could hear a pin drop. Now, folk are guilty. Just as guilty as they can be. Guilty in their life, guilty in their homes, in their marriages, in their way of living, in their way of giving, in the things that they do and say. Guilty conscience will cause you to be quiet when I'm coming down your street. Paul said this. Paul stirred up kind of like I am this morning. He said, then Paul stood in the midst of Morris Hills. Morris Hills. This hill was a place of an assembly. There's a Supreme Court of Athens there. That court said they dealt with religious matters right there in Morris Hills. Paul said, you men of Athens. Paul started to speak up to these people. You know, he stirred up. Paul said, man, I'm stirred up over this. I perceive that all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by, beheld your devotion with an S on it. Now, I found an altar with this inscription, to D as one, unknown God, big G. And Paul is playing on words here. To D, unknown God. This is scripture. Word therefore, ye, now we get down to the crux of the matter, if you will, you ignorantly worship him and declare unto you, Paul is getting ready to tell them, you're too superstitious. There's a God that they have been ignoring and ignorantly worshiping, which means you can worship God ignorantly. Same thing going on today. Many people going to church ignoring What are you saying, brother? They're ignoring that there's a church of Christ in the Bible. You ignore that the only church in the Bible is Church of Christ. You go into a building with some denomination of name on it and just ignore it. Say, man, we cannot praise God. We're worshiping God. You ignorantly worshiping God. Because you're a man. You're okay. Because your belief system has not been penetrated by this book. It's based on philosophy. You're ignorant. They're considering ignorant worshipers. Jesus, I'll talk about these people. Matthew 7:23. Said they 21-23. You can read that. These people gonna call on him. Lord, we did not prophesy in your name, cast out devils, do many wonderful works. Verse 23. Jesus, I never knew you. Wow, you didn't really worship. You were the worshiper. They call him Lord. They taught doctrines and commandments of men. He said in Mark 7, he put it more clear, he's more specific in Mark 7:7-9. He said, howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. But laying aside, watch this, the commandment of God. What do? Lay aside your Bible, put your Bible down. You told to the tradition of men. You go do exactly what your mama did, your daddy did, sister did. You lay the Bible over here. Don't read it. Just do what they tell you. Notice what happens. Jesus said, you hold the tradition of men as a washing pots and cups. Mama taught us how to wash dishes. I wash dishes this way. That's what you do. Whatever she taught you, do it this way. But when it comes to your soul, Jesus said, many are such like things you do. And then he said in verse 9, full well you reject a man of God, that you may keep your own traditions. Be careful about being too superstitious. Going along with men, I just believe I'm a whole, it's traditional. Traditional. What's traditional? When it comes to this, your soul, we can't hold no tradition other than the traditions of the scripture. As Paul told us, the epistles, the written Bible. We hold to the tradition of that. That's what we do. We follow the Bible. We don't follow what the tradition of men. We don't do that. That's not something we do. That's not why. We have to understand what we are doing and why we do it. And when we do that, we understand that God is not a respected person. He's not going to let none of us get away with doing whatever we want to do. Then look at Luke 13:24. Everybody turn over there, Luke 13:24. Listen to this group of people that are going to have this great shock. I call it this great shock on the day of judgment. It's going to be a shock. And he says in verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And once the master of the house is risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand with doubt and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, see that? These people believed in Jesus. Open up to us. He shall answer and say, I know you not. Whence you come? We are. Then you shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. And you were going to a building, doing everything in the name of Jesus. Just taught in our street. You were teaching people about Jesus. He say, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me. Notice here's the problem. You're workers of iniquity. You did not do it the way God told you to do it. You did not follow the scripture. You came up with your own law. And that was the problem. That's the problem right there. Coming up with your own way of doing it. This is what this is about. God does not wink. He's not winking at this stuff, you all. We can't come up with our own way of doing things. We got to do it the way God said. Jesus said these people are going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And you yourself, thus, he said, you're going to be able to see all these people that you read about. You're going to be able to go there. That's sad. It's kind of like the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was able to see Lazarus in paradise, in Abraham's bosom. He was tormented. He couldn't go there. Do we know after we die, you all, it's over. You're going to know you lost already. You're not going to judgment to find out you lost. Yahweh, and you're going to give an account of the things that you didn't do. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Secret things going to come up. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whatever secret thing, whether it be good or evil. But we want to repent. We want to be forgiven of these things. Let's go back to Acts, close this up. Who is this unknown God he's talking about? Listen to verse 24. He's going to go ahead and lay it out. Verse 24, he's going to lay it out. He's going to lay it out. Who are he talking about? Paul is talking to these philosophers, these orators are there, the sculptures are there, the painters, the poets are there, the Athens high court is there, everybody's listening. And Paul is going to be, he's going to use skills here. He's going to use the Bible, the Word of God, to point out their error. He said this, that God that made the world, when you look up in the sky and you see the sun and the moon, who done that? The God, Paul saying, you want to know the unknown God? It's the one that made the world and all things in it. And you go ahead and paint this in your mind. He's going to tell them, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven, that's the one who did it, and earth dwell not in temples made with hands, neither is worship with men's hands, as though he need anything, seeing he give it to all in breath and all things. He gives it to all life and breath, excuse me. You know, who put the breath in our lungs? Who ends life? Who appoints death? Who appoints birth? Who do that? This is the God Paul is telling them about. And he says this. This God don't dwell in no temple. He don't go to a building and find it. Notice this. And have made one blood. This is why... I don't even preach against racism in the sense that I got to talk about black, white. But that's not, God don't see black, white. He see one blood. And when a person believes the Bible, they see one blood. All souls matter. No matter what the color of skin, it's the soul that God is trying to save. That's what matters to God. And you see the blood, everybody bleed red blood. Regardless of color, nationality, we bleed one blood. This deals with it right here. Of all nations of men. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 28. Go teach all nations. What do you mean? Go teach all those who got the same blood running in them. What you got? Red blood. He didn't say go teach the Chinese. Or go teach this brother. Go teach that one. Go teach that one. He said all nations. All nationalities. And as Christians, that's the way we should be thinking. Every nationality, everyone deserves to be saved. That's the God we serve. This is what Paul is telling them. For to dwell on the face of the earth and have determined a time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So who's going to call your life to end? Who's going to call it to end? The one who is bound. The one who will determine a time before appointed. That's the God that they don't know about. For they shall seek the Lord. If happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him, talking about God, we live, move, have our being, as certain also of the old poets have said, for we also is his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the God is like unto gold, silver, or stone, graven by art. Man, he's dealing with them statues and stuff like that. And then here comes the verse. At the time of this ignorance, God winked, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Crux of the matter here. the conclusion of this sermon is this emphasis. The God that made the world is the Lord of heaven and earth. He don't dwell in temples. He's not worshiping hands. I'm clapping and giving my praise on God. That's not worship. Give light to all that lives. Remember who gave you the breath? Remember who's going to turn it off. You get 60, three score, and you've been living 60 years. I'm 61 now. You start looking at, man, that 60 went fast. Another 10 will be fast. Another 10. 80, maybe. Maybe 90. Who's going to turn it off? Who's going to call that day? This is what Paul is pointing out. This is what we should point out. Who's going to make that call? The one who gave life, Lord give it, and the Lord take it away. No, we are his offspring. We are creatures created by our creator. That's God. Don't be ignorant. They think you're in control of things. Many of us act like we're in control of life. We're not in control. We don't even wake ourselves up. We have no clue what's going on when we go into a deep sleep. You know who's watching over you? Not just Susan Smith and Wesson or whatever. Good, you got us watching over you. I got your dog in the backyard. When he barks, they're not him. That's not you. You're not watching over. It's God. And when we think and we know his offspring, and we know we are that one blood of all nations, and it pointed that these people that are made, that are creatures and creatures from the Creator should seek the Lord because we are his offspring. And the Godhead is not like an idol. It's not a job. It's not a car. It's not nothing else. It's not nothing man can come up with but be okay with God. The time of this ignorance, what was going on? See, there was a time when people didn't know all this, some of this information that I'm giving you today. There was no New Testament. God suffered some things to go along. So the time of this ignorance, I don't mean let them get away with it. What are you talking about there? So don't miss that. There was penalties, even on the old law. There was penalties on the old law. There are penalties on this one. But there's something different now. And God said, no longer will I have. I will weep at nothing. I'm going to give you time to learn it. The long period when people were ignorant of the true God, that's what they were ignorant of. Why? They ignored him. And God winked. He overlooked that thing. But now he commanded all men everywhere to repent. See, now when you look at this, the Romans 10, listen to Paul. He told the Roman Christians the same thing. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 1, Paul said there, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Talking about the Jews. By bearing them record, he's going to say, I'm going to tell you about this. I can tell you this about them. They have a zeal of God. They want God. But not according to knowledge. Here it is. It's the problem. There's certain knowledge you got to have. Notice what happens. For they being, verse 3, here it comes. They being ignorant of God's righteousness have gone about what to do what? Establish their own. That is exactly what's going on still. People want to come up with their own way to go to heaven, and they ignore the Bible. Wasn't that what's going on back then? Yeah. But notice this. In Acts 3:17, Peter said, now, brother, I wot that through ignorance he did it, as did also your rulers. In Acts 14, in time past, suffer all nations to walk in their own ways. Notice that. It's done happened. He suffered it, to walk in their own ways. So he put up with some stuff. But now he's not putting up with some of this stuff. put up with it, not to the saving of their soul. We gave them time to deal with it. Here's the thing. We got to understand, we start looking at this, that God commands now that all men repent. All men, me, you, anybody, Jew, non-Jew, Jew, Gentile, black, white, Hispanic, no matter who you are. All men are to repent. Why? For he says Christ is the end of the law. That's when it all happened. That's what he said. Paul is saying, y'all, when Christ died, that was in that. Christ is grace and mercy on the cross, truth on the cross. In 2 Peter chapter 3, as a quote, Peter said it to them, this second epistle in verse 1. I'm going to go verse 1 through 9 right here, just work up to that. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. That's what I'm trying to do. He said, let me remind y'all. We need to be reminded that God is not winking anymore. He's not winking at all. He said, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles, the Lord and Savior. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking out their own love and saying, where's the promise of his coming? They don't think it's coming. When is it coming back? But since the fathers fell asleep, all things concerning, things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Listen to this. Verse 5. Verse 5, I'm going to hit this too. When you get to it. But they willingly are ignorant that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. And by the word of God, you get to learn everything you need to know. You don't have to be ignorant. And the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world then was being overflowed with water, perished the people. They ignored what God told them back there in Noah's time. But the heaven and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved by the fire against the day of judgment, perdition of ungodly men. But verse 8, here's what I want to be. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that the one day is with the Lord as a thousand years is one day. Here it comes. Back to what Paul told him. The Lord is not slack. You take a rope and pull it tight. And you push it in a little bit, gives. There's no giving. There's no winking. When we choose to not repent, that's where the problem comes in. It's not that you can't repent. You can, but your decision has to be to repent. That's the only way. But what is the grace at? The grace in giving you time. The grace is in giving Jesus on the cross for you. The mercy is giving you time to live alone, to live like you're doing right now. You can do it, but he's not going to slack. He's not going to give slack. He's giving you time to, notice this, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering, there it is right there. The why are we still living right now, long-suffering? Why do you have this second chance to get yourself right this morning if you want to repent, confess your fault? Because God has been long-suffering with you. Not because here comes the good news. He's not willing that any should perish. That's what he's saying. I don't want you to perish, but you must come to repentance. You got to change. And that's what Peter was teaching them then. Paul was teaching them that in Athens. And when a person repents, that means they have godly sorrow. So he said, but I want to repent. Well, repent because of what? Because you know what you're doing is wrong in the eyesight of God, and you're sad that you've been doing it in the eyesight of God. Now you want to do it for God. You want to do right. But that's repentance. That's true repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. It's godly sorrow, 9 and 10, godly sorrow, when you're sorry that you did it, and you know God knew you did it, and you want to get it right with God. That's godly sorrow. But the sorrow of the world working death, that means you can't be sorry because you got caught. You're sorry because you've been living like this. If you're just sorry because you got caught, that's not godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is when you're sad that you've done what you've done in the eyesight of God. And Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I'll tell you your name, but except you repent, you're going to perish. The whole conclusion of this study is this. God is not winking because God gave his only son. And now he commanded. Notice he said, but now, verse 30, but now, what's the but now? He had talked about that Jesus that had died on the cross. And that's the one I'm talking about this morning as I close. Here's why God would not wink. Because he's given his best. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And for a shearer's dumb, he opened not his mouth. That's talking about God. And Isaiah 53, the Bible says that Isaiah said God saw his travail. And how he was despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, here's why God don't wink. He gave Jesus to give us all this chance to get right if we want to. And his son was oppressed. His son was afflicted. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. A sheep before his shearer is dumb, but Jesus didn't open his mouth. He was taken from prison to judgment hall. He stood before Pilate. He made his grave with the wicked. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. There was no violence, no deceit in his mouth. But the Bible teaches that it pleased God to bruise him, to put him to grief. And he made his soul an offering for our sins. This is why God is not winking, y'all. He don't wink. Because he gave his best. And he saw his travail. He saw the pain. He heard him cry out to him on that cross. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? The Father heard that. And Isaiah says, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify me. He knew why he was going to the cross. To give us all justification or the ability to be forgiven, not guilty of the day of judgment. What is the message this morning? God is saying to us, and Paul was saying to them, you're not going to get away after all God has done. None of us are going to get away. If you're on a call this morning, as I close, you said, Brother Brooks, I know I need to repent. Well, if you knew it, then why don't you do it? Because you're not ready. Then you need prayer. Then. Maybe you need us to pray for you. That God can be long-suffering. Because he's not going to wink. He's not going to let you get away with it. Maybe you ought to ask for prayer. Or maybe there's somebody on here who says, I have changed. I'm not doing it no more. Then you have repented. Then you need to be baptized. You need to be baptized immediately. Why? God is not going to wink. If you die, you weren't baptized. He's not going to wink with that. You should have believed when Brother Brooks preached to you. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 15, and 16. You should have believed that. You should have believed the one church. God's not going to wink at that because you don't heard it. It's in the Bible. You could have known it. The Savior in that one church, Acts 2:47. Not going to wink that you didn't know the Savior in one church. He's not going to wink that you didn't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You should have taken. You should have been drinking it, blood. Every Sunday. He's not going to wink that you didn't get right. If you're on the call this morning, not a member of the Church of Christ, I'm saying to you, God is not going to wink at that. You're going to be like the people in Jesus said. They said, Lord, Lord. No, that didn't work. Just believe it didn't work for them. It's not going to work for you. Why? God is not winking at just believe. He's not winking at that. You got to believe and obey. So to the visitors on the call, it's important to understand that you have to make a decision to be saved, to leave false doctrine, denominational churches, and obey the truth. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Come by hearing the word of God, hearing the suffering Savior's story, as I talked about Isaiah 53, how Jesus suffered for you. He didn't do it just so you could get away with sinning. He did it so you could be saved. You could come to repentance, as the people did on the day of Pentecost. When they asked Peter, what are we going to do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Acts 2:38. That was the new message. That's the same message I'm preaching. repent and be baptized into members of the church. You've been baptized. You're in the church. You haven't been living right. I went down your street some kind of way. You can do it two ways. You can receive with fear. You can also receive what I'm saying in anger. Or you can be like the people in Acts 2. They gladly receive the word. And when you gladly receive the word, even though I'm teaching it, it should prick your heart and your conscience. And then when you gladly receive, you'll obey or you'll come to repentance. It's not about being upset about anything. You should be upset at yourself that I had to say it to get you to think about it. So here we are. When it comes to the church, members of the Church of Christ, if you have a prayer request this morning, hit that 5-star, the 5 asterisk sign. Visitors who want to call, making it clear to you. Steps of salvation, you got to hear the gospel. Believe, number 2. Number 3, you got to repent, Luke 13:3-5. Number 4, you got to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God. Number 5, you got to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Number 6, you got to live faithful. That's to the members of the church who've been baptized. So you can see, I'm talking to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. I'm talking to those who are in the Lord. It goes to all of us. What should I take away from this? I better know. God is not going to wink at Brooks. And what should you do? You better know. God is not going to wink. You put your name in the blank. I just did mine. So if you're on the call, we're getting ready to have a song of encouragement. We want you to come. Come to the Lord. Jesus is called. Come to me, all you labor and heavy labor. And that's a love call. Greater love and no man than this. They lay down in life for you. For it's free. The Bible teaches us. If we willfully sin, there's no more sacrifice for sin. Hebrews 10:25. And that we understand that God is not willing that we pray. But we willfully sin and stay in that sin. All we got to look for, verse 27, a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And he said this in verse 31 and 30. God said, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense it, Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. God said, in the end, I'll deal with you. In verse 31, he says this. It is a fearful thing. Fall into the hands of the living God. We all should fear that, y'all. Facing God, unprepared. But the good news is, we still alive. The good news is, we can make the change. The good news is, Jesus done his part. God done his part. He leaves it up to us to love for. So what is the lesson? You're not going to wink because you say you didn't know. And to those who want to respond, go ahead and get 5-star. We will allow you to speak, to ask for prayers, to make a confession, or let us know you want to be baptized. It's all encouragement.